Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, and I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, the holidays are typically festive and joyous for most. But how do you get into the holiday spirit when you are grieving the loss of a loved one? Tonight, we're talking about holiday grief and how to get through this season when you are dealing with overwhelming sadness. Our guest tonight is Dr. Karima Ware. She is a clinical psychologist, and the phone lines are open. We'd like you to be part of the conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Join us on Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR, or follow me on Twitter at Bramante. Dr. Ware, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bramante.
Let's first define grief. Mm-hmm. How do we define that?
So it's interesting. I think as complicated as grief can be and can feel, simply put, it is an intense sorrow or despair, and it is often associated with the death of someone. However, it doesn't necessarily have to be. And I think that many of us associate grief with death. But there are so many things that we can grieve. We can grieve maybe the loss of a home due to a house fire. We can grieve parental separation or divorce. Incarceration of a family member, you know, moving to a different school, even things like graduating from high school or college that folks, of course, associate positive feelings with. But there can also be a sense of loss and grief of having to transition from a place that they felt comfortable with and connected with for 4 years and are then having to transition out into the world.
And I, in college, I know some folks who were hesitant of graduating, right? There was a grief of leaving sort of that safe space and what you know. Is grief and depression, are they the same things?
Very good question. So, no. Grief is more of that longing and that yearning of missing that with which you had, right? And again, that can be due to death or some sort of a transition or separation. Whereas depression is more of a, like a clinical mental illness often associated with a deep sadness or depression over a specific period of time, and can also, you also see symptoms associated with, you know, loss of interest in things that you were once excited to do, or difficulty sleeping, or not sleeping a lot, or too much eating, or not eating a lot. So there's more kind of clinical symptoms, if you will, associated with depression. And grief is looked at more of a normal process that we must endure with loss.
That's a very interesting way to put it. Grief is sort of a normal thing, where depression is something that oftentimes has to be treated with medication
or psychotherapy.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we know typically grief shows up right in several stages. Talk to us about how the holidays can exacerbate grief.
Yeah. So, you know, it depends. It doesn't, you know, grief can just be difficult any time of the year. If your grief is due to, say, loss of a relationship or, you know, death of someone that you cared about, often when we think about holidays, we think about being around the people that we care about and around the people that we love. And so naturally, it brings up, well, wait, this is another holiday season, but this person that was here just last holiday season, maybe, is not here now. And so it can invoke some re-experiencing of grief, mm-hmm. where one person thought that they had fully healed, which we can also talk a bit about, that it's not this start and the grief process is not a start and stop process. It is a journey.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight, as we've talked all week about how to deal with the holidays, whether it's safety, whether it's about shopping and making sure you're safe, and tonight about dealing with grief during the holiday season. We know it's a joyous time of the year, but also it's a time where there may be someone that you're missing. You may be going through something. There may be a setback. We're talking about that tonight, and if you've been in that situation and you can offer some guidance and some insight, we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Dr. Karima Ware, she is a clinical psychologist. We've heard folks describe grief as a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Can you control grief?
I don't think you can. There are things that you can do to cope, to manage, to work through, but you got to go through it. And I think I always say, you know, to get there, you got to go through it. We can't jump and hop and as much as we would like to, right? Because grief hurts. And as much as we would like to avoid that, it is a process that we must go through.
202-319-7810. Our phone lines are open, and let's go to the phone lines. Donnie is calling from Northwest. Go right ahead, Donnie, with your question or comment.
I don't have a question. I basically have a comment, if mm-hmm. it's okay. Mm-hmm. What I would like to say is I have lost two of my older brothers. And like my mother always said, a mother never wants to lose her child before she passes. At the same time, it seems like now when you don't get a chance to grieve, I think that is a part of the passing of the person. And you always, I can honestly say this, you should always hold on to the good because the bad will suck you up. And if you have any of that to hold on to, let's drop the negative. Let's get with the positive, and let's think about what that person meant to you and what that person stood for. And if they have any kids left, then you keep the memory flowing and going, and you honor them no matter what goes on in life.
Well, thank you.
And you remember that you did have them. Because one thing for certain and two things for sure, once we are born, we have to go. That's guaranteed.
Well, thank you so much, Donnie, for your call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, we are talking about dealing and coping with grief during the holiday season. Dr. Ware, how then do you, is there a way that you recommend folks hang on to those memories so they go through that grieving process in a way that helps them, emboldens them to move forward?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I often get the question, well, is there a right or a wrong way to grieve? And I try to take right and wrong out of it. And I look at it as more of a continuum of healthy and unhealthy. And so one of the healthy ways in which we can take care of ourselves when we are grieving is to think about those positive times, the happy memories, maybe incorporate some things into the holiday season that you remember this particular person. You know, maybe it was grandma and grandma made those fabulous collard greens. And you have the recipe and you make it for a family gathering. So I absolutely agree with the previous caller in that there are some very healthy ways that we can take care of ourselves during the holidays.
Let's go back to the phone lines. And Patricia is calling from Capitol Heights. Go right ahead, Patricia.
Okay, so between May and November, I lost six. Two of the six, one with my husband, one with my oldest brother. Is there any tools that I can use to help get through the holiday?
Thank you for your call, Patricia, and we're sorry for your loss. Yeah. Dr. Ware, that's a large loss here that she's trying to deal with. Not one, but I believe she said six.
Yeah, that is tough. There are a couple of things that I would recommend just off the top of my head, and one is compassion, and just have compassion for yourself. Oftentimes we hear, oh, okay, well, this happened, and okay, it's been a month, so let me just pick myself up, and got to pick myself up by my bootstraps, and I have to just push on. And we do not. It is okay to sit in the grief. Mm. I think we spend so much time and energy pushing it away. And as painful as it is, I think sitting in the grief and the loss is probably one of the best things that we can do for ourselves currently, but also in the long run. And also, I mean, the amount of losses in that short period of time, that's what we call complex grief, mm. right?
And mm-hmm. when you say, though, sitting in the grief, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Does that mean not going to work, not talking to people, locking yourself away, or is it accepting that you feel bad?
Yes, just accepting that you are grieving and not feeling like you have to push your feelings down. Mm. And step into work as if everything is okay. It's okay for things to not be okay. We are human. And I say one of the universal things that we all have in common is loss, period. And so having compassion for yourself, I think, is key. What I would recommend with that amount of loss in that short period of time, it might be helpful to reach out to a grief counselor or a grief psychotherapist who can provide specific, specialized support.
And you mentioned that, and I think it's important that our callers, maybe if we have some information, some recommendations, some resources that they can use, like the young lady called, that you can share from your experiences, whether they're specific or whether they're general, in terms of where those who are dealing with some deep, deep loss and are looking for help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I would say that the pioneer in the District of Columbia for grief and loss is the Wynn Center. The center, which is the Wynn Center for Loss and Healing. I believe they have a couple of locations in the district, one being Ward 8 Big Chair MLK. Mm-hmm. And they have grief groups for children, adolescents, adults. And they also specialize with specific topics. So it could be loss of a child, and they have specific grief groups for that, or loss of a friend to gun violence.
Is there a website, doctor, or somewhere where we can lead them to try to help them find that?
Yes, and I can actually look that up perhaps when we take a break. I do have the phone number.
You can share that.
Sure. So that's area code 202-624-0010. Again, that's 202-624-0010, and that is the Wendt Center for Loss and Healing.
And spell it, Wendt, when you say Wendt?
Uh-huh, it's W-E-N-D-T.
Wendt. Mm-hmm. Before we go to break on the other side, I did want to ask you, do certain groups deal with grief differently? African Americans, let's pick one. We may generalize and say African Americans feel like they have to be strong and keep moving forward. That could be a historical thing. Is that a good thing to try to just push through? And do you see differences in different groups culturally and how they deal with grief?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I definitely, yes. I think about religious groups that I've worked with that really focus on their belief in a higher power and really entrusting that higher power and believing that that person is in a better place. You know, oftentimes African-American folks, we use humor. You think about how many memorial services we've gone mm-hmm. to where somebody got up and spoke and we had a laugh.
And right? That is a great, great point when we're mm-hmm. talking about how to deal with grief. And mm-hmm. oftentimes comedy and a certain lightheartedness is a way to deal with it. And I actually want to sort of follow up on that on the other side. So we're going to continue this conversation. For those of you, Dr. Ware was offering suggestions and talked about the Wendt Center. If you do go online, the web address for that is www.wendtcenter.org. That's wendtcenter.org. So please go there. Hopefully you can get some of the help. And if not there, they can lead you to where you need to go. If you're on the phone line, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, it is the holiday season, and there are ups and there are also downs during the holiday season. You have been used to having someone around, and now they're not here anymore. It could be through death. It could be through separation. You may have lost a job. You may have broken up with a lifelong friend. All of those things can trigger grief. And how do we deal and cope with that during the holiday season when many expect us to be up and about and very happy during the holidays? We are talking about that tonight. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. In studio with us tonight to help foster this conversation and guide us in many ways is Dr. Karima Ware. She is a clinical psychologist. Again, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Ruth is calling from Hyattsville. Ruth, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I was just trying to figure out, like, every holiday season, we go to my mom's. My mom, she has a tree up. She wraps the gift. You know, everything is done at her house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been since 2015. She passed, and my brother, he's the one that prepares the meals and everything. And he passed 2014.
Hmm.
And, of course, I don't have my dad, which passed in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any family here, but they're all in North Carolina.
And so you're looking just for some suggestions on how to cope with that. Yeah,
to really get into the spirit. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I have one brother here, and he's with his wife and his family.
Mm.
So it's just me and just my son.
Right. So that she's got a tough situation, Doctor, where she has her child, but not only does she want the camaraderie
he's
of family.
Not even child. He's 22. He's just his grandma.
Well, he's a grown man too, but still your son, right? No matter how old he gets.
Sure.
And so Ruth is looking for some suggestions. What does she do? Does she then reach out for extended family, use friends, social groups? What advice would you give Ruth?
Sure, absolutely. And sorry for your losses. You know, there is there's a such thing as grief. Let me just say this: such thing as grief, and then there's also a such thing as complicated grief or complex grief, and there's mm-hmm. also traumatic grief.
Hmm.
And so, when there are significant back-to-back losses, such as what this caller is describing, it's almost as if you're grieving one and you haven't fully grieved that one, and then you have another one coming. And so those are a lot more challenging. It's a lot more complex. It's a couple things I mentioned earlier about having compassion for yourself. Number one. I think oftentimes, again, we pick ourselves up, got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
We're strong. And I think sitting in it and understanding, you know, what's really going on and just taking it in, I think, is one of the most important things. You know, I had also mentioned, you know, continuing some of those traditions that you remember your parents doing or your brother doing, whether it's cooking, whether it's having family over. I always encourage being surrounded by people you care about and people that care about you,
mm-hmm.
whether that's family or friends. It's very easy for us to isolate ourselves. And so we want to try to work hard to not do that. And we might need help, right? So that might be a text message to a really good friend saying, hey, this is a hard time for me and I need some help. And one of the ways in which you can help me is maybe to send me a text message every day with like a positive affirmation, or just letting me know that you're thinking about me. So I often, because we can isolate during grief, is to bring somebody in, include someone else, whoever it is, and it doesn't have to be a bunch of people, but it can be one person.
It's very interesting that you brought that up, because I was going to say, what should we expect from family members and friends, and how should we react to those who are grieving? And so I want to get to that, but I want to go back to the phone lines if we can real quick. Ron is calling from Northeast D.C. Go right ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I'm Ron, and what I want to say is my situation was, I was born out of wedlock, and I got to know my mom, I got to know my dad, and I was brought up by my aunt, who I thought was my mom, but, you know, was my aunt. Mm-hmm. And I got to know my mom, and it was great, and got to find out that, you know, I have brothers and sisters, and, you know, I grew up really good, and got to know everybody, and we got to get close. But as I grew up, I kind of lost myself, because they were on my mom's side, and they, you know, were closer to that. And my aunt was a single mother who raised me great. I grew up with a loving mother who raised me, a single mom. So I grew up to be a great person.
So, Ron, I want you to just get take us to what it is that is there that you're dealing with in general. Is it the fact that were you grieving not knowing your biological mother, even though you had a positive experience?
My experience right now, my grief is, is that I don't have a connection.
To your biological mom?
No, I have a connection with her.
Uh-huh.
The problem is, I don't feel connection with the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
as a person with them.
I see.
I don't feel connected as a person. I mean, I give them love, they give me love back, but I don't feel right with me.
Okay, let me let Dr. Ware sort of get into that. And I know that's a tricky thing, where you may have, that's a situation as a professional, as a doctor, that you would probably have to really get deeper into what's happening there. But if you can, just in general, what's your assessment of what Ron is saying, and maybe what he's dealing with?
Yeah, and this is an example of potentially someone who, and thank you for your call, sir, someone who is grieving, but not necessarily due to death. And perhaps what the grief is around, or the feeling of loss is around, is not being connected. It is nothing like being in a room and surrounded by people that you know, but you don't feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's what that caller was talking about.
And so with that, I don't want to speak for Ron, but there is probably some grief there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if those family members knew that Ron was grieving in his relationship with them, mm-hmm. specifically. And so let's get back to my question before we took a call a few moments ago. How should those around the one who is grieving, how do they deal with that? How do they support? I know you mentioned about, hey, maybe if they need you to send a text, do that. But other than that, what should we do if we're dealing with someone who's grieving that is close to us?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things often that I see is, sometimes it can be hard for folks who are good intentioned and who want to be able to provide their friend or their family member or colleague support with when they're grieving. But sometimes our own grief can get in the way of that.
Hmm.
And so we have to be conscious and mindful about the losses that we have endured, so that we can maybe temporarily set ours to the side to be able to support whoever may be coming to us in need, and being a sounding board and being someone who listens, and perhaps someone who may have a few resources or two, and kind of do that legwork to look online and to get some resources that the person who is currently experiencing that intense sorrow just might not be able to do.
Now, oftentimes, some of us, some folks may say, even if you care for the person who's grieving, hey, listen, life, the world keeps turning. It goes on. You need to get over it. You need to move forward. But do we really get over it, or do we get through it?
We get through it, but in order to get through it, we have to go through it.
Is that something that folks should say to those who are grieving? Get over it. Is that valid at ever?
No, absolutely not. And thank you for coming back around to that. It is a journey, and depending on the type of loss, whether it's complex losses or traumatic losses, that can be a lifetime journey. I often say to my patients, you know, the pain never goes away. We just do a better job of living with it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are things to be mindful of.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about coping with loss, coping with grief during the holiday season. And again, it does not have to mean death. It could mean a loss of something that you valued that might have been material, might have been an experience that you were continuing to have, and then it stopped and you weren't able to have that anymore, and that's a loss. And how to deal with that? 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is Dr. Karima Ware. She's a clinical psychologist, and the phone lines are open. Dr. Ware, you've mentioned several times, you have said there is traumatic grief, and I kind of think we get that, like the caller who's lost six loved ones within a span of a few months. And then you said there's complex grief.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what the difference and those two are.
Sure. So complex grief is actually what the caller had mentioned. So, you know, between May and November, having lost six family members. So essentially what happens is you're grieving, and before you have the opportunity to fully grieve, then you have another loss. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with that, and then you're trying to grieve, and then you have another loss. So it almost is like this compounding grief. Whereas traumatic grief is often associated with violent loss, violent death.
Mm-hmm. For us to, and I think folks who may not know that there are stages of grief, mm-hmm. you know, we can just put up the word grief and you say, I'm grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, as the expert, there are stages. And so can you help our listeners to understand what those clear stages are?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the research focuses on 4 to 5 stages of grief. And so I'll highlight all five, although there is one that when we come to, I will say that sometimes that might be experienced and sometimes it may not. But the first stage is denial. Again, not everyone may experience this, but essentially, denial, an example is you get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning that someone has died, and your first response or your first thought is, no way, I just saw them, no, or I just talked to them. And so that is a layer of denial. And sometimes denial can be kind of have a negative connotation. And I actually think it is a very powerful defense that sometimes is needed because, you know, shock and stress is a real thing. And so what denial can do is give your body an opportunity to absorb it and to take it in so it does not hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's denial, that's stage one. And then once you have understood the complexity and what is really transpired here, then you move into anger, which is a very normal and okay feeling to have. Oftentimes people are like, well, so they passed away. I mean, I shouldn't feel angry. It's a part of the process, and that is okay. The third stage is bargaining. And so some people will experience this and some people will not. And bargaining is where, you know, maybe for folks who have a higher power, like, come on, God, like, please, like, if you bring this person back or if you make it better, then I'll be like, I'll be perfect. I'll be a saint. Mm-hmm. And that typically is only for anticipatory grief, which is there is an anticipation, like say maybe the doctors called and indicated that someone may only have a couple of days to live. Mm. And that might be where that bargaining may take place.
I want you to hold the last two because we're going to take a break. We're talking about grief, coping with it, and specifically right now we're talking about the five stages of grief. Dr. Karima Ware is here and she is offering invaluable information. Phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about coping with grief during the holiday season. How best to deal with that and recognizing when you are grieving and how to deal with that grief. And for those of us who may be trying to help loved ones or friends deal with it, how best we should handle that. Before we went to break, Dr. Karima Ware is in studio with us. She's a clinical psychologist, and she was describing or going into the five stages of grief. Number one is denial. Number two, anger. Number three, bargaining. And that's where we left off. And Dr. Ware, I'd like you to share with us those last two stages of grief.
Sure. So once you get to a place in bargaining where you're working and you're begging and you're praying, and unfortunately there may be no success there, then you move into depression, a place of depression. It becomes real. And so there's this overwhelming sadness and sorrow, intense. And then, you know, you're in that space for a little bit. And then the final stage is acceptance, where you have been able to, healthily grieve, in that you're at a place where you feel content. You feel like, you know, you have your memories of the person that you lost, in that you have healthily incorporated those memories into your being, into who you are. What I will say about the stages of grief is that they don't necessarily go in order. Okay,
you might be angry first.
Absolutely. And then also there can be ebb and flows. So somebody might think, gosh, you know, I lost my uncle 5 years ago and I'm still angry. You know, and maybe they feel like they've moved through the other stages and they got to a place of acceptance. But gosh, you know, around his birthday, I find that I get pretty angry. And all of that is normal. There is an ebb and flow process. There's no start stop. And there's no kind of succinct order in which the stages of grief occur.
How do we deal with grief when it's not about a definitive loss, meaning that a person has died and they're not coming back, right? But it's a loss, say, in a relationship. It's a divorce. It's someone you've been married to for 25, 30, 40 years. It's a friendship that you've had for 50 years since you've known each other, since you were little, and now you have a falling out. How do you deal with that kind of sadness and grief when it's human connection and that person or persons are still around? What do we do there? Do we face that and try to resolve it? Do we run from it and say, okay, this is a situation where I just need to separate myself? Does it depend? Is there context?
Yeah, so context is always key.
Yes. That's everything, right?
So it definitely depends on the players, who's involved, the circumstances, you know, and all of those kinds of things. So, you know, my blanket statement will be that it depends. But there's always ways that you can take care of yourself regardless of the loss. And there are some healthy ways that you can take care of yourself. You know, we talked a little bit about it, but, you know, doing things like surrounding yourself with friends and people and family and people that care about you. If you have, you know, spiritual or religious practices, you know, healthy, like exercising, doing things that you find pleasurable, self-care. Those are the more healthy ways. There are some healthy ways in which we attempt to take care of ourselves. And sometimes, you know, that can involve overuse or use of drugs or alcohol, which is oftentimes an indication that there is an attempt to numb from the pain. But that is also an indication of how painful it really is.
And it can be ongoing, an ongoing grieving that never really gets closed off. Does that happen oftentimes?
It can. And if it does, often that is moving into a space of either like a persistent bereavement, or which is, you know, it lasts over 12 months and it is this continued longing for this person, or this preoccupation with this person's death. And so that can happen. Also, it can shift into depression.
And I was going to ask you, what are some of the signs that your grief is becoming sort of too much, or is entering into that stage of the serious zone, like depression?
Good question. So I always say intensity and frequency. So the intensity with which you are experiencing these feelings, and how often they are occurring. And then also, you know, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders that psychologists and other mental health professionals use, they usually talk about a 12-month mark, and that if after 12 months there continues to be this intense longing and this preoccupation, this sadness, you know, isolation, withdrawal, loss of interest in things that were once pleasurable, that's when depression may be warranted.
Counseling. Let's talk about that. You're grieving. Do you suggest counseling? How does it help? What role can it play?
Yeah, I'm a bit biased. I will say yes. I don't feel like it can be harmful. I would always recommend that professional support, right? And it is just as important as the support that you'll get from your friends and family. So I am a proponent of not having to choose just one of those, but to choose all of those. That might be a support group at a hospital. That could be a support group at your church. That can be friends. That can be a therapist. But as much support around you as you can have. But I would definitely recommend therapy or counseling, particularly for those more complex and traumatic losses.
Is it different grieving? Is it different for children versus adults?
Yes. With children, sometimes what you can see is a bit more of the irritability, the anger. Sometimes you'll see, and I was talking with Candace Atkins a couple days ago, she was asked, she's like, are they, like, people who are grieving, is it always like, do they feel and sound like a Grinch? Like, and that's not necessarily the case. You know, sometimes there can be silent sufferers, the ones that don't externalize their grief, but it's internal. They withdraw, they isolate themselves. So it depends.
And so obviously we're talking about grief, and then specifically we're talking about, too, the holiday season and the kind of grief that brings on. And when I said at the top of the show that we feel like we're supposed to be joyous because that's what the holiday seasons are about, can you talk in our last few moments if guilt plays a role in that, because we feel like we're sad, we want to grieve, but yet we don't think we should be allowed to in the holiday season? I know I'm only giving you about 30 seconds, but is there guilt involved in that during the holiday season that I should not be grieving?
Absolutely. And so that's the piece where I talked about having compassion for yourself. That is number one. In that, you know, there's all types of feelings associated with that. And guilt can be one of those, but that it is okay to celebrate and to be around people who love you. Oftentimes, that can help us to feel better. And I think we don't do that enough. We often try to isolate.
And that's what the holiday season is about. But obviously, this is a topic that goes even beyond the holiday season. But as we mentioned, it probably gets exacerbated with this time of year. She is Dr. Karima Ware. She is a clinical psychologist. And we thank her so much for this conversation. Very informative. And we hope that it helped all of you listeners. And we thank the callers who called in sharing their experience also. That's the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Thursday, December 20th, I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton. Have a great night.